Good morning once again, everyone. Very weak today again. Good morning, everyone. I have some thoughts this morning that I believe the Lord has placed upon my heart, and some of those thoughts maybe changed a little bit. John was over last night. John and Margaret came over to visit us last night, and John and I were talking, and made me think about something as we were talking about how Satan can get into our mind and can play around with us and get us to not think as positive sometimes. And John was sharing with me a little bit about how you have to overcome that strength, overcome that that Satan, you know, gets on you and gets you to think about things that are so far out that we have no control over, and to be thankful for the time and the day that we live in, and to be positive about that. And so I had a book that I was looking at, and it was on positivity, and it had some thoughts in here, and I began to look up some scriptures around them, and so I'm going to talk on them today, and it is about being positive, and I'll probably have to write that maybe at the top here, that it is about being positive in a world that we live in that can be completely consumed by the negative, and especially by Satan and how he works and how he gets into our mind. And I'm going to read some scriptures today that talk about that. And I'm going to talk about thinking positive thoughts, about hearing positive sounds, and where we put ourselves and find ourselves and what we're listening to, and seeing positive sights, and not just with our eyes physically, but looking into the things that we face and finding positivity in that, finding God's plan in our life for those things. Speaking positive words. And you hear me reiterate some familiar scriptures that I talk often about, especially when it comes to positive talk and performing positive deeds, and being in the right places that we need to be attending to. And I wanted to read a scripture to you in 2 Timothy to kind of start, and to just as the first scripture. And then the other scriptures, forgive me, as I read through these different sections, the scriptures I have, I wrote them all down and I forgot to put them in the right order. So they may or may not make sense as I read them. So forgive me if I bounce around a little bit, excuse me, in there. 2 Timothy, though, in the first chapter, verses 7 to 12, and I don't have any of them on up on the projector today. We'll have to turn and follow me if you could. But 2 Timothy is where I kind of started, and where this kind of the deepness of it in terms of thinking, in terms of our mind and that positive thought, where it has to start. It says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us. He has called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of the Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Wherein I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Of course, that last verse we read in, or it's the title of a song, or it's within a song that we sing called "I Know Whom I Have Believed." And, you know, it kind of leads into, and I wanted to touch in the first verse, it talked about having a sound mind. And I looked it up, and I don't think I'll read it all to you, but I looked up some commentary about what that word means, to be of a sound mind. And, you know, the Greek word sophreno, and I won't read all of the different parts that make up that and how they put that word together, but the Greek meaning of it means it's a mind which has been delivered, a mind which has been rescued, revived, it's salvaged, it's protected, and now safe and secure. Even if your mind is tempted to succumb to fear, as was the case with Timothy, you can now allow God's word and that Holy Spirit to work in delivering him, to rescuing him, to reviving him, and to salvage him. You know, as I thought on that, that is that sound mind that we are after. We desire to be strengthened by God, to be revived, if you will, by God, so that we can be positive, have that positive mindset, having all that fear cast out. You know, that's what Satan casts upon us, is that fear. And it's that fear that we have to overcome in everything that we do. He will attack us in any way, shape, or form, and it is always with constant fear that he puts on us. You know, we were talking last night again, Satan doesn't have any rules. He has no rules whatsoever. He will attack us when we are in our darkest moments. He will come upon us and he pounces. We know that the scriptures say he's like that roaring, or that lion that is waiting to pounce upon us. In Philippians 4:8, we read, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." We have to constantly be on guard against Satan, and we have to be on constant, a constant work and a constant struggle to put those things into our mind to remain positives. You know, it's a discipline that we have in terms of being Christians, to go against these negatives that can dominate our mind. And it's because, as we had just talked about, Satan will put that fear into our mind. So we must be on constant guard about how we think in our mind and having those positive thoughts and those godly thoughts. You know, and we almost have to take deliberate action, if you will, and we have to replace negative thoughts in our mind with positive thoughts in our mind in order to keep an optimistic outlook. You know, I remember my dad saying the other day, you know, we could go back and forth in terms of news channels from, and we won't get into the argument of Fox over NBC or anything like that today, but as we were talking the other day, you know, you can listen to the news, and it doesn't matter which channel it is. It is a series of negativity, 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 because it is also entertainment. It's what builds us to want to come back and to see the conflict. You know, a conflict is what is created, and it's what attracts our humanness, and Satan feeds on that. And so he will constantly, I'm just picking on the news. We could pick on many things, and we'll touch on a few of those as we get going. I want to read another one to you found in James, first chapter, verse 8, and it says, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." You know, as I think on that, you know, how true that is, that if we try to be someone of positive-minded and then something of negative where Satan is in our mind, how unstable are we? You know, we are, again, a fence rider. We are trying to be hot and cold, and we become lukewarm, and we know that it doesn't work. In 2 Nephi, I wanted to read to you chapter 6, just one verse, verse 74. It says, "Remember, to be carnally minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is life eternal." You know, what does it mean when it says carnally? Who knows what that means when it says to be carnal minded? What is that? Flesh, worldly things, you know, all the cares of this life, you know, and we have scripture reference after scripture reference that talks about if our focus is on the worldly things, and on those things that are carnal minded, you know, instead of those things that are spiritual, that is where our focus is supposed to be, that we are supposed to be focused on that which is spiritual, because that is about life eternal, right? How many things can we take with us when we leave this world? Not one thing. You know, all of those things that are carnal minded, that are worldly minded, to think on those things, it's just death. They all stay here when we leave, but if we think on those things that are spiritual, then we are working towards life eternal. It's where our mind needs to be. It's where our focus needs to be. Back in Philippians, the third chapter, just going to read two other verses to you here. Still touching on the thinking positive thoughts. But Philippians 3:14, and a familiar verse, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." You know, that is the mark that we press towards. You know, we meet this morning to remember that, to be called back together. You know, we get drawn out in the world. We're totally caught up in our responsibilities at work. Maya and Rhodes and others be going to school soon, and you will be consumed by those things. We are literally consumed by those things, you know, but God knows that. You know, we were talking last night, this is part of his plan, and I talked about it last week and at Sunday, that you know, this is his plan. He decided to have us created in him, his image. He decided to create a world. He decided the age, you know, how long we would live. He decided that we would have to get up and have to work and perform labor during the day, and that we would have to have shelter and clothing, and that we would have to physically eat. He knew, he created all of that, so he knew that there would be a burden during the day and through the week, that we would have to be consumed by other things, because he wants us to make the choice. He wants us to make the choice of good over evil. And so he knows that we have these challenges put upon us. And it's why we need to be reminded that we are to press towards the mark of that high calling. Ephesians, another good one. I always lose Ephesians and Philippians in here. Ephesians 4, 22 to 24. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Again, reminding you, you know, that you know, when we were converted, if you will, or when we decided in our life to follow God, again, he said, you know, we put off that former self. We put off that former person, remember, and we're to be converted. And I can't remember if it's here in Ephesians when they talk about being converted. And again, I'll use that example. You know, there's the, and I use this example in my classic camp, and boy, did they really got it. In our peer pressure class this year, we had 10 kids, all different ages. You know, and when we talk about being converted to God, and it's a continual struggle, but when you tell them you're really converting yourself, you know, and you explain to them the movie The Transformers, as I have you guys, when they go from a robot to a vehicle and back and forth, and then you tell them about that caterpillar turning into a butterfly, you know, and you ask, if you ask a young kid what happens to a butterfly, they know butterflies die. That is their next phase of life. When they see a butterfly on the ground, that butterfly cannot go back to that caterpillar whatsoever. That has the cocoon that it was in, and it made a total transformation, and it could never go back to it. And it's the example that Apostle Paul gives to us time and time again, that as we took on a life to serve God, we were to be truly converted, that we could not go back to that natural man, that we took upon us a conversion. And so when we think in our mind, you know, we have to have that positive thought. We have converted ourselves to being a God-fearing people. Does it mean we're not going to be bombarded? Absolutely not. We're going to struggle and we're going to sin. As John, at a good point last night, he says, you know, I come to recognize that I'm not perfect and that I'm a sinful person. And we are going to have struggles, and we're going to continue to have to get on our knees and repent. Mosiah, I want to turn and read one more verse before moving on there. Book of Mosiah, 11th chapter, Book of Mosiah. In just one verse, verse 101. And it says, "For there was nothing preached in all the churches except it were repentance and faith on God." You know, and I was kind of just alluding to that verse as I was talking about in a conversation with John, you know, and I think that helps us in terms of remaining positive in our mind and allowing to remain focused, is that we humble ourselves. You know, I think about the importance of humbling ourselves before God and getting on our knees and telling him that we're not perfect and that we struggle, and we struggle with the fear that Satan, you know, puts upon us and causes us to doubt and causes discouragement for us in our lives. But if we get on our knees and we truly humble ourselves and repent, it's how God will lift us up. It's how he'll overcome that fear. In that very first verse that I was talking to you about, you know, he will work with us, and he will help to allow us to have a sound mind. And that's truly what we are after. Positive sounds. You know, I'll read one. Let me read one to you in Isaiah real quick. Isaiah 22. 4. I know I got a lot of scriptures here and a lot of thoughts. I hope you'll bear with me, and I'll just make some brief comments about each one, and hopefully them compiled together in your head will make some sense for you today. Isaiah 22:4 says, "Therefore said I, look away from me, I will weep bitterly. Labor not to comfort me because of..." And I think I read the wrong one. Sorry. Sorry, I did. And it was revealed in mine ears by the Lord of hosts, surely this iniquity shall not be purged from you till you die, saith the Lord of hosts. And I want to just touch on a moment about the importance of us and listening to the Lord as well as the things that we have to put out of our reach of listening to. We are surrounded by not only people that we can come into association with, but our TVs and our internets and our radios and all of the different filth that we can find ourselves listening to. I had a lot of conversation in my peer pressure class, and I think about our youth and what they deal with, and it starts at a very, very early age. The filth that is spoken and how we have to be on guard with our ears constantly, just as much as what we take in through our eyes, it's just as important the things that we take in through our ears and how it can have a tremendous effect on us in terms of that fear that Satan can cause, can come by way of sound into our ears, and it takes a toll on us in that positivity that we are struggling to maintain in our lives. So Matthew 13, 9 to 16. Jesus speaking says, who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall it be taken, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall hear, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. As we know, Jesus spoke in parables, and as he said here, he spoke in parables so that they wouldn't understand. But as he says, they couldn't understand, that their heart was waxed gross. Their ears were dull of hearing. They didn't want to hear this. We have to have a desire to hear God speak with us in our life and to work with us, and we have to not have our heart waxed gross. Our ears need to be open to that. And I think it's 3 Nephi I wanted to turn to next that kind of leads into one example. In fact, I'll give you this one example. Again, I told you I wasn't sure if I had these in the right order, but 3 Nephi 5. And I think about this, and I think about how does the Lord talk to us? And he can talk to us in many different ways. And I just wanted to read this one, though, in 3 Nephi 5. 3-8, and we were just reading this in Sunday school class just a couple weeks ago, and this is when Jesus appeared to them on this land, and there was tons of destruction upon this land, and there were these more righteous people we know that were gathered together, and this is how the Lord appeared to them. I want you to take note of it, because, I know he came and physically appeared to them here, but I want you to see the context of how he appeared, because I think it's also true with how he can work with us today. And it says, starting on verse 3 of page 631, it says, and they were conversing about this Jesus Christ, of which the sign had been given concerning his death, right? So they had been given the sign, and of course everything was happening, the darkness that they experienced. So they were saying, they were conversing, saying, hey, this is the sign. This Jesus Christ must, this is that time that was prophesied by Samuel. It says, and it came to pass that while they were thus conversing one with another, they heard a voice, as if it came out of heaven, and they cast their eyes round about, for they understood not the voice which they heard. It was not a harsh voice, neither was it a loud voice. Nevertheless, and notwithstanding it being a small voice, it did pierce them that did hear to the center, insomuch that there was no part of their frame that it did not cause to quake. Yea, it did pierce them to the very soul, and did cause their hearts to burn. And it did come to pass that again they heard the voice, and they understood it not. And again the third time they did hear the voice, and they did open their ears to hear it, And their eyes were towards the sound thereof, and they did look steadfastly towards heaven, from whence the sound came. And behold, the third time they did understand the voice which they heard. And it saith unto them, Behold, my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, in whom I have glorified my name, hear ye him. You know, and as I think about this, you know, I know that, you know, I don't believe anything is too big for our God. If he desires to appear before us and to have Jesus Christ appear before us, that that can happen. But, you know, as we, you know, we go through our lives and we are to be in tune to him. We are to have our ears open. And as it says right here, I think it's the exact same thing, that he speaks to us in that same way, that he can speak in a small, still voice. And that it will pierce our very heart, in so much that our frame was caused to quake. It pierced them to the very soul and did cause their hearts to burn. We have to be attentive in listening. You know, it says three times here that they had to listen in order for them to understand what was being spoken. I think it's the same with us, that we have to be in tune to the Lord. We have to be asking that he'll speak to us and then attentively listen and desire that. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. First Corinthians 6:19-20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have not of God, and you're not of your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know, when we think about the things that we listen to, and, you know, it causes us and remind us this morning, as I countless times do and remind myself of the stuff that we listen to, that we are, you know, Paul reminds us that we our body is the temple of God and we're to take care of it. You know, when we talk about things that we're not to do to it, we should be eating right. We should not be tattooing our body up and piercings of all kind. And, you know, the same goes with the things that we put into our mind and through our ears, and the garbage that we can listen to, again, from TVs to internet to movies to whatever it is, you name it, to conversations, to gossiping, to, you know, whatever it might be, we have a struggle and a constant on guard that we must have about allowing the certain things that come into our ears. And it's that can drive fear that Satan drives, and it takes us away from being positive minded. So I want us to be warned by that this morning. Positive sites. I'm going to just turn to a couple. I'm going to skip some of the ones I had. I know it's going to be a little too long. Let me skip a few of these that I've got. Hebrews 12:2. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, when I talk about seeing positive sights, I'm not just talking about, you know, us being careful about the things that we put into our mind through viewing. And as we need to, the same, you know, we are completely bombarded by movies and things that we're able to that we struggle with, the things that we shouldn't watch, things that we shouldn't be seeing and put into our mind. But I really want to touch on about how we must see the positive side of what is that we need to be looking at. I'm going to turn in 1 Nephi chapter 4, verses 38. And, you know, this is that tree of life that both Lehi and Nephi saw. And, you know, during that tree of life, there was a rod of iron. It says, and they said unto me, what meaneth the rod of iron which our father saw that led to the tree? And I said unto them that it was the word of God. And whoso would hearken unto the word of God and would hold fast unto it, they would never perish. Neither could the temptations and the fiery darts of the adversary overpower them unto blindness, to lead them away to destruction. Yea, I did exhort them with all the energies of my soul and with all the faculty which I possessed, that they would give heed to the word of God and remember his commandments always in all things. You know, this is the what we must see positively in life you know, is because we are holding on to the Word of God. You know, I think about whenever I'm at a place in my life, whenever Satan is fully on me and engaged in the negativity of the world, and you know, this isn't God's plan, and you know, there's probably not a God there, and he causes doubt and discouragement. You know, every time I think about that in my life, I usually find a point when I haven't been reading, when I haven't been studying. And I think it literally means that, you know, to hold on to the rod of iron, to hold on to the Word of God is, yes, we believe it, but I truly think it means that we're consuming it. And it's not just hearing it here on Sundays when we go to listen to services, but it's when we consume it, when we actually, you know, feast upon it, as some of the other scriptures talk about, when we feast upon it and we constantly read it and take it in. You know, we can't use that same old excuse that I just read about, you know, I don't want to hear that anymore. You know, those Pharisees and Sadducees, oh, we know it. We know everything. We don't need to be taught anything. We already know it. You know, we could read other scriptures, and it talks about this day when it says, you know, they'd be teachers having itchy ears. They don't want to hear these things, and they want to learn them from man, and they want man to be the one learning, and it's why we have seminary and, you know, things like that, instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to work with us and to deliver God's message. I have one, you know, I wrote down that positivity requires patience, and I had thought, you know, I thought about the children of Israel, you know, and they wandered for 40 years, and they could never go into the promised land. And they constantly allowed Satan to come in and to work with their mind. They would not remain patient in that. Samuel's prophecy, we were reading about that before too, that, you know, Samuel prophesied about Jesus coming, and what happened after a few years? They doubted and said, it's not going to happen. And of course, we know that it happened. Laman and Lemuel, the same thing here with the rod of iron. You know, how many times over and over were they given miracle and they saw, but then they would turn from that. And, you know, I just want to read one more scripture before moving on concerning that. First Nephi in the first chapter, verse 37. And it says, and also he spake to Lemuel, and he said to Lemuel, and this was his father Lehi, and he said, oh, that thou mightest be like unto this valley, firm, steadfast, and immovable in keeping the commandments of God. You know, and we know that Lemuel didn't, that he would not do that. But his father did not give up on that. And it's the same reason, you know, I'll say it over and over and over, that we must remain firm, strong, and steadfast, immovable in keeping the commandments of the Lord. You know, and as I'm just going to take a little pause here, I just have a small demonstration for you. You know, as we think on how we be positive, how we're hearing and seeing positive things, and before I move on to the next part here, I have a small little demonstration. I don't know if it'll make any sense, but Tara said I haven't been doing enough visuals for our kids, and all our kids are gone, so that's okay. We'll do it anyways. Rhodes and Mile, have you guys come up here? Yeah, I forgot about this. I haven't done too many visuals in a while, and I did quite a few of them at camp, and it made me realize, you know, the practicality of it and how it does. Can you lift that up a little more? Okay, Rhodes, go ahead and grab a hold. And, you know, I want both of you to pull back a little. And, you know, it's not going to, go ahead and pull back a little bit more, Rhodes and Maya. Put a little strength in that, you know. You know, they can't do anything really to bring that in. And you guys keep pulling on it. Maya, pull on it equal. Pull on it equal. You know, and as I just grab here, I can simply pull in on that, and I can make that possible. And, you know, the idea behind that, and there could be a few examples that we could get out of that, but again, the idea is that with God, all things are possible. That He, if we allow Him in our life, He will help us with the hearing, if you know, the things that we take in, with the things, how we need to have our outlook onto the situations that we face and how we can look at those things and have strength in them. I love the scripture we read in Alma in the 17th chapter, and I'm just going to read this one and move on to the next. But Alma 17:3 says, and now, O my son Helaman, behold, thou art in thy youth, and I know and I beseech of thee that thou wilt hear my words and learn of me. For I do know that whosoever shall put their trust in God shall be supported in their trials, their troubles, their afflictions, and shall be lifted up at the last day. You know, and I think of that example that we might be contending with something in our life, a trial, a trouble, and an affliction. And the Lord, though, if we put our trust in Him, He is that lever, and He can simply pull that and allow us to overcome something. He will be that strength, and we need to remain patient sometimes. I think of the children of Israel. You know, they it wasn't going to be a piece of cake. They weren't going to be able to go through the Red Sea and you know, be there in an hour. They probably could have been there though within a month. But because they wouldn't remain, you know, consistent in worshiping Him, and they worshiped other idols, they wandered in a wilderness for 40 years. I want to turn over in terms of speaking positive words, and this one is always something I talk about for me, and I'll read the verses that I usually do that I think are excellent regarding how we are to talk or how we're not to talk either. 1 Corinthians, though, second chapter, verses 12 and 13. It says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is in of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." You know, that is our desire. Our desire is that we have received, again, that Spirit of God. And our goal, our desire is to speak those things that would be spiritual. You know, and I know that they are a challenge for us. They are a constant challenge for us in our life. Again, associations that we have and the struggle that it is. And I want to turn in Titus. I want to read a few more and then discuss them. But in Titus in the second chapter of Titus. "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior and become holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of contrary part might be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you." We know that we're not to be speaking evil one to another, and yet we know the struggle it is when you get caught up into the conversation, and you know, it could be talking about someone, and here you find yourself, you end up joining right in the conversation, and you don't realize it. But we're commanded, as we know from God, to be careful in our conversation and what we do. And I want to read a couple more here. Ephesians 4:29, very, very familiar one. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Let's read a couple more that I had. I just wanted to talk about them. 1 Peter. I apologize. I didn't have them all written down in the correct order I wanted to. And I did it again. I lost Peter in my book here. Peter, 1 Peter 3:15. "But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and in fear." Now, especially when I talk about positive words, I know this one might be a little out of order, the one I wanted to talk about, but you know, when I think of us talking in positive, you know, that is what we are to be ready with. We are to be ready to talk with others about that hope that we have within us. Be ready to talk about that with anybody that we come in contact with, that we have to be ready to give them that answer, that hope that's within us. It says with meekness and with fear. You know, that is what we have to do. That is the struggle that we have in our life, to remain that positive, to be able to share of that hope and that goodness that we have. And I'm after, I think it's James. I think this is the one I wanted to get to. James 3, and you know, this one really hits me hard, and I think it speaks to the plainness of our tongues and a good comparison of them, and it's one that you've heard many times from me before, but it says, "Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a master a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is all on fire of hell." You know, when you think about our tongue and the challenge that we have, how it is, it's like that small helm that can steer a huge ship. You know, and you go up when we're in the St. Lawrence and we see that massive boat, and then we see the small, you know, how it, that little turn that it can do can turn that entire boat. And the struggle that we have, especially in remaining positive in our mind and having, again, to be of a sound mind, if you will, that God has strengthened us to be. That our words that come out of us have to reflect that as well. If not, you know, if you ever find, if you are the complete opposite, that if Satan is on you and you're full of negativity and you know, you're just thinking bad thoughts about everything, that's exactly what is going to come out of our mouth. And so we are challenged with this, and it is a challenge I think that we will continue to have in watching our tongue. You know, I remember we were just in Missouri at reunion, and Tara and I sat across from Leslie and Irene Case on a Saturday afternoon for lunch. And I think it was that Saturday evening they were celebrating their 70th wedding anniversary. And we sat down across from them for lunch. And, you know, I was thinking about them being married 70 years. And, you know, I thought about, you know, what do I ask them? And I looked right over. And, you know, what's the most logical question you say is, how did you make 70 years of marriage, you know? And Leslie didn't hesitate for a second, and he didn't look at Tara, he looked directly at me, and he said, "Keep your mouth shut." And I was like, that's great advice. You know, us guys will constantly get ourselves in trouble with our wives because we'll say things we shouldn't say. And again, we know that perfect order in the home means that a man must love his wife more than anything, and then she will submit to them. So it always comes back to us men. And I think that's, you know, when he said, "Keep your mouth shut," I just thought about it. You know, it has to start with us, because that love is to go to our wife first and foremost, and then that submission will occur in the home. So keep your mouth shut, you know, and it's a challenge I have. I know that others are challenged with it. Some are good with it, and we all... It's a challenge for some, and for some, it's something they're able to overcome. For me, it is a huge challenge. Positive deeds. Romans 12. I don't have a watch today, by the way. I don't know what time it is. 10 to 12. Okay. 10 more minutes. I'll try and wrap it up. Romans 12:16. "Be of the same mind one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits." You know, perfect instruction for us. Be of the same mind one toward another. You know, not being high-minded, not, you know, but we are to condescend, again, to men of low estate. We are to be humble in our actions, humble in our mindset, not wise in ourselves, but wise in God. I'm going to turn over in Matthew 5. Matthew 5 and read 38 to 39. And this is Jesus speaking. And he says, "Yea, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. This is an extremely difficult one for me as well. It's the challenge that we have in life, and Jesus tells us to do it here. We know that he brought a law of love and a law of loving mankind as we would love ourselves. And it is his desire for us to do that. It's a struggle I know that we have, but if we that is the desire that he has for us, and it's his commandment, and so we must in turn follow that. I want to turn back into, I think I was wanting to read this one and I didn't, Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, I talked about that transformation that we have to take place in doing good and to men. You know, and not to boast, but I'm going to tell you, it's a struggle for me. I have a sense of compassion within me, believe it or not. Most people at work don't think I have a sense of compassion. We do our personality tests and a behavioral test, and I actually do. There is compassion within me. But again, to show that and to do that is difficult. And I just wanted to give you an example of, you know, doing something that's good, you know, and that feeling that you get from doing that. And I took, and I know this might be just a simple, dumb example, and you guys are like, really? But, you know, this kind of hit me. I took Tara to the drive-in on Saturday night to or Friday night to spend some time together, and I got up during the end of the first show, and I went to the bathroom, and I went to go to get some sweet and sour snack. And as I was in line, there were two boys in front of me, and they wanted two bags of cotton candy, and I forget how much it was, but they were short 50 cents. And what caught me right away was the two boys. The one boy was buying, and he didn't say, well, I'll just take the one or this. It was, we can't get it then. We didn't have 50 cents to get the two bags. I mean, he was really showing brotherly love because he wanted two of them. So I jumped over and I said, you know, I got your 50 cents. And the one boy was in complete shock, and he says, nobody's ever done that for me. You know, and I was like, oh, Brandon, it feels, you know, that's, you know, we need to do these types of things. I'm going out the door closed as another person was, you know, I saw the guy coming, but I let the door swing closed. You know, something made me turn around and just push the door enough for him, and I pushed it so he could open a little bit to him, and he said, thank you. Started walking, and it builds. You can build momentum on doing good things for each other. Guy had just got out of his car, an older guy, and I saw he had two knee braces on, and he was hobbling. But the grass had gotten a dew already from the sun being down. And so what did I say to him? I said, be careful, the grass is real slippery. And what did he say in reply? Thank you. You know, and as you think upon doing good, and I don't say that to boast because I struggle with doing those things that are good. And it just takes a second to do, and they build. One will build on the other. And as we do good and perform positive deeds for one, it's so much easier to build on that and continue to drive at doing good. Romans 12, I'm going to stay right in here. I want to read 9 to 10 as well. And it says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, or hate, you know, that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. You know, this is what God has charged us to do, to be kindly affectionate one to another with that brotherly love that we are to have. I'm going to read just a couple more. I'm going to turn over in Jacob in the second chapter. Just got a couple more to read to you today. Jacob 2:57. Behold, their husbands love their wives, and their wives love their husbands, and their husbands and their wives love their children. You know, I want to remind us today of the love that we have to have in our home. Those positive deeds, especially to our wives and wives to our husband, and especially towards our children. And I've got my two children right here, and I could read the other ones where children are to honor and obey their parents. We have to remain positive in that by doing things for one another, by obeying one another, by loving one another above all. 3 Nephi 5:95-96. I love this one too. And, you know, this is the Sermon on the Mount as well. And Jesus speaking, but when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. You know, and I think as I just gave you an example of at the drive-in, you know, that's something that I keep to myself, right? It's something we keep to ourselves when we do those good deeds. You know, he says, don't let the right hand know what the left hand's doing, that we aren't to be boastful. We're not, you know, the Sadducees and Pharisees that he talked about as well, that, you know, and he says, if you do this in secret, I will reward you openly, you know, with the Father, that he will tell the Father all of these things that we have done. Actually, I'll skip to it. Attend our positive places that we need to be in. I'm going to turn in Psalms 122. They're getting a little tired back there. 122:1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You know, I want to remind us of our duty to attend church. I know that those of you who are here, we attend and we come and we know the benefit that we get. We know and we receive the peace that we get and the Spirit that abides with us. But, you know, more importantly, you know, if we didn't, you know, I realize why God has caused there to be a Sabbath day, why he caused for a day for his people to assemble. And it was so they would build on that with one another, that they would receive strength from one another. You know, we get going along and what happens? We get into a habit, right? We get into a routine and all of a sudden it's not there anymore. Moroni 6:6 says, and the church did meet together oft. They fast and to pray and to speak one with another concerning the welfare of their souls. And they did meet together oft to partake of the bread and wine and remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we have this place that we're able to come and to meet and to draw in our thoughts and draw in what's truly important in our life. And again, back to the mindset that we're to keep, and it's on those things that are spiritual, and it's not on the worldly responsibilities that we have. And we have this time that we're able to draw apart, and you know, Rhodes and Maya being gone to school, you'll be able to Skype in if you want, and to view, and how important it is just to get that hour or two in our life each week that's able to strengthen us. You know, if I were to ask you, how do you get better at a sport? Well, practice. But if I'm playing basketball, let me ask you, how are you going to get better? Who are you going to surround yourself by? People that are what? What was the last part? If I want to be a good golfer, you going to golf with me? That hurt, by the way. That hurt. That answer hurt me. Thank you. That's exactly what I was after. You know, the saying in golf or any sport, you want to get better at that sport, you have to play with people that are a level or two above you. If not, you will play then to that different level that they might be at. We have to surround ourselves constantly with as positive people as we can, and I know it's a challenge, but I want to remind us today of thinking positive, hearing positive, seeing positive, and not just with our eyes and the filtering, but seeing the positive in God's plan in our life, speaking positive, watching our tongues, and constant regard, especially for myself. Performing positive deeds, remind us of our responsibilities. I didn't read, you know, the other ones, positive deeds, you know, we're to help the beggar, we're to help the person that's in need, and we're not to judge them, right? I mean, God says we're not to judge them, we're to help the beggar, we're to help the person, we're to help the poor in need, and attending positive place. I just want to remind us of our association and where we find ourselves and where we put ourselves, that we think before we just put ourselves there, that, you know, where we surround ourselves with, we will help to keep the right frame of mind, and especially focused on studying our Word. Keeping the Word of God in our life, that rod of iron, is definitely at the heart of the strength of us remaining positive in our life. I pray you receive some strength from that, and I guess really some remindings today, if you will, of how we can remain strong in our life, our daily walk with God. We are going to close our service today with the use of hymn number 348. Hymn number 348.